Hello and welcome to Angel Insights, brought to you by Syndicate Room. This is the show that dives inside the world of early stage investing to reveal the tips, tactics and strategies of today's best early stage investors. And joining me today, I'm thrilled to welcome John Spindler. Now, John is the CEO of Capital Enterprise, a not-for-profit membership organization for those who nurture, advise, mentor, accommodate and invest in entrepreneurs in London. John further plays a role in developing London as an ecosystem through his role with London Co-Investment Fund. And on the other side of the table, John has had over 15 years of experience as an entrepreneur and business advisor. And as well as being responsible for the day-to-day management of Capital Enterprise, he's also a director and co-owner of audio designer and manufacturer Ferguson Hill. Therefore, I'm delighted to welcome John Spindler at Capital Enterprise. John, welcome to Angel Insights. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you ever so much for inviting me.
Now, I'd love to start off today by hearing how you made your way into the world of tech and what the origin story is behind Capital Enterprise.
I got two hats, Capital Enterprise and London Co-Investment Fund. In terms of my own history, I had a tech business back in the old dot-com boom days, which did reasonably well. And then I left that and got back into doing tech, actually in a hardware company, which went less well, to be honest. And then basically got into tech when the tech explosion started to happen, the Cambrian moment in London, back again in around 2009, 2010. And that's when I actually took over Capital Enterprise. And Capital Enterprise is a network of basically enterprise agencies, universities, kind of co-working spaces and accelerators. And I'd be fair to say that now probably over half our members are focusing specifically on supporting entrepreneurs basically from the tech sector. That's the reason why we also co-founded the London Co-Investment Fund, which invests basically in those entrepreneurs as well.
There's so much to unpack there, but one of the main things I'd love to dive on is the catalyst then. You said about London's rise as a tech hub. What do you think it was that caused this rise in 2008, 2009, as you suggested then?
Well, I think some of it was obviously the reaction to the kind of calamitous financial situation and economic situation that happened with the crash. So recessions hit incumbents more harder than obviously new businesses. And so there was opportunities that weren't there before. We had a lot of talent that was being in London that found actually the best way of expressing their talent was probably by starting a tech business. And thirdly, I think actually the nature of tech basically itself, the emergence of cloud, the emergence of mobile, all of these that happened in the late noughties gave us so much more opportunities, not just in London, but across the world. Bright people with a great idea, with a great identification of an opportunity, and with some tech ability to start potentially agro businesses.
And the mission at CE and the London Co-Investment Fund is to make London the best place to start and grow a business in Europe, correct?
That's correct.
So what makes a great place then in terms of starting a business, do you think? And how do you address, there's often the chicken and the egg of funding versus startups. How do you address that?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, what we're talking about there is two things. Obviously, there was, for the vast majority of startups, there's 600,000 startups that we started in the UK this year. The route towards, say, VC finance or to take start a business that has exponential growth is just not for them. It's just not a sensible option. So we're talking about quite a small subsection, probably only about 1 to 2 to maybe possibly 3% of all of those businesses that are started each year in the UK have the ambition and the means to create a high growth company. And tech is probably the best means to do that because of the nature, but it allows you to effectively scale economically effectively. So I would say what you need for a great cluster, a great ecosystem, are four things. Number one, you need talent, probably by far the most important. You need entrepreneurial people. You need basically talented people to want to join entrepreneurial people. I think number two, you need basically a kind of amenable kind of environment in which to start a business. Partly about its regulation, partly about its government support, and part of it is having access to people like our members, the universities, the accelerators, the co-working spaces, the networks, the community of support that London particularly has a lot of. I think the third element you need is access to market. So these are you need to be close to your customers, whether it's businesses or whether it's consumers. And London's a great place. Think about it. 9.5 million people. It's the largest city by far in Western Europe. It's one of the best cities to launch a B2C product in the world. Take up here is higher than virtually any other city in the world. It's also, as you know, the centre not just of finance, but of tech as well now, but also media, creative, and many other sectors. London virtually is ideal ecosystem to basically get early stage customers. And the fourth element, which I think is really important, if you want to basically kind of support those companies that can go and become the next, Salesforces, Facebooks, basically Stripes, etc., is that you need availability of risk capital. And although I would say London, compared to some ecosystems, doesn't have enough, it's still the best in Europe for the ability for you to be able to acquire risk capital.
And how do you view the angel ecosystem now and how it's developed over the years? You said obviously about 2008. Since then, we've had some more notable UK exits, so hopefully producing angels investing back into the community. Is that something you've seen? And what more do you think needs to happen within the angel environment?
Well, we're still at the kind of early stage. We haven't had enough exits, so we haven't had enough, and particularly big exits, where there's been lots of, basically not just founders, but also early staff members, early employees, but have also exited. I think once we get to that stage, we'll have a system that they have in Silicon Valley, for instance, where a lot of the angels themselves are ex-entrepreneurs, exited entrepreneurs. Still, I think we're too early in that cycle. We consider basically that these cycles normally are 10 to 12 years to have the number of them, which will basically seed fund the next stage. I mean, what's happened in London is a great tax break. So the Seed Enterprise Investment Scheme and the EIS scheme has allowed a lot more people basically to invest in early stage companies, as companies themselves to basically think about the chance of actually acquiring early stage finance risk capital and therefore expand their growth horizons and speed up their development cycles. So I think it's positive. But it's not the same as you would find in, say, Silicon Valley in New York. We're still some way away from that.
And we spoke there about US exits. And one investor who I spoke to recently described the narrow exit funnel for European startups and suggested that really startups have to move to the US to attain that $1 billion acquisition by a large Facebook, Google of this world. Is that something you agree with? And do you think we'll evolve into that? Or do you think the transition to the US is needed in the end to get that mega valuation?
I think you can become a unicorn in London without having to move to the States, especially in certain sectors like fintech. But quite frankly, it's more likely that the States will move here because of our better regulatory environment, better access to talent, and more amenable, basically, market than the States. But to know, I mean, for certain businesses, it is true, but you are likely to raise more money, to basically grow faster, and to have a better exit, particularly actually in B2B. Particularly those that are doing B2B SaaS plays, for instance. I think the States model is still probably the most likely one you'll get a good return from.
We spoke about SEIS and EIS and governments and what they can do. For you now, with Brexit being such a topic on everyone's mind, how much of an impact does that have on the ecosystem as a whole? Does it create kind of mass uncertainty and lack of confidence that you've seen tangibly?
I think it's now it's becoming more apparent that there's a very good chance we will have Brexit. I mean, to some extent, we live in London. London will probably be the region of the country that we're least likely to vote for Brexit. We've probably been missing the runes, missing the signals that the rest of the UK is probably very anti-Europe, while we in London probably are less so. I think it will be devastating to the tech scene. I think it will be devastating for a number of reasons. One is one of the reasons why it's difficult to start a high-growth business in the UK is already from VC's perspective, the market is too small, particularly when it compared to the 330 million people in the States. So by saying that you can build a world-class, world-dominating, world-beating company that can serve such a small market in the UK only as your first market, it's going to be difficult for you to raise that money. So basically from VCs. Secondly, we rely on that talent. I mean, I would say almost probably at least 40%, probably more than half of the businesses we invest in London have a co-founder that is from the EU. So if we take away that, we are going to lose a lot of that talent, which is one of the bedrocks of a good ecosystem. And thirdly, I think it's a very bad signal for the rest of the world to see that the UK is going down a more isolationist route.
So with that in mind then, what are the other barriers that you see to London as an ecosystem thriving into the city and the business hub that you and I believe that it can be?
Well, you've got obviously some of the ones that all of London has. It's a city that probably is eating itself in terms of cost. I mean, at the moment, it probably costs you to build just a simple, say, tech business. It's probably going to cost you around $75,000 more to set up in London than it would, for instance, in Berlin. So you have to say yourself, is it worth the extra $75,000? I think it is. I think that access to the market, access to the talent, access to capital makes it worth it, but it is already you're paying a premium to be here. And that's because obviously the cost of living in London is so high, not just for businesses, but obviously for the people you employ. So that's a big problem that London has to solve. It's a problem that San Francisco has as well, to some extent New York. But, most people in tech are just like most people in London wanting some solution to the housing crisis. I mean, the second thing specific to London is we still do not have enough capital. We do not have enough capital to fulfill the role that London could fulfill, which is to be the Silicon Valley of the whole of Europe, is to basically fund all those businesses in Europe, including Israel, that want to basically stay where they are to scale up and to tackle the European-wide market. And at the moment, there is not enough capital, mainstream capital, coming into tech.
And talking about the lack of mainstream capital coming into tech, are there any specific areas of the funding ecosystem you see as having flaws? So, you know, seed funding may be massively proliferated and there may be a gap in Series B funding. But where do you see the holes that need to be exploited?
There's probably gaps everywhere. There's probably the only place you may say there isn't a gap is at the very early, which is seed enterprise investment scheme step level. Although one has to say that it's very easy to raise seed enterprise investment scheme money if you are connected, if you come from money, if you went to the right schools and you came from the city. It's still reasonably difficult if you're not from that background. So people overplay how easy it is. But the real gaps, I think, are on late seed and Series A. I think the corporate world, the money, the PE money, the family office money, all that money, the mutual money that is basically in London, will come in after Series B and Series C. And it already does, not just here, but across the world. I think the real problem is late seed and Series A. The chances of getting the Series A across Europe are about 50% less likely than in the States.
And how much of a role do you think corporates can play in engendering this rise of London? You mentioned corporates there, and we're seeing kind of corporate startup initiatives. Well, are you seeing a rise of the corporate intrusion into startup life?
I am, and most of it is good. Although I would like corporates not just to set up labs or to basically put small amounts of money into accelerators or to run hackathons. I would like the corporates to actually invest. And I would like the corporates across Europe to start buying. Kind of like people keep saying, why is it always Facebook and Google and basically Salesforce and all of those? Because partly they buy early stage tech. Unfortunately, Europeans don't. It is noticeable if you take the big boom in AI and machine learning in the UK at the moment. But one of the reasons why it's such a boom is not just the talent that we have, but also because corporates are buying these very early stage companies. But the companies that are buying these early stage companies in the UK are the likes of Google and Apple and no one else. The European wide thing is one of the things where a UK company is very much more like a European company than this is. They have this not invented here syndrome. They will invest billions and billions in their own R&D to try and replicate what their startup does. But they won't actually buy the startup because they underplay the role of the entrepreneur, in my view.
And then I'd love to talk about the London Co-Investment Fund now, your role there and your kind of vision of the future and how you plan to implement it.
Okay, well, Capital Enterprise is the co-founder, myself is a co-founder, and with a fund in London, which is the mayor's own fund management company. And that's fronted by Maggie Rodriguez, which is a wonderful person, by the way. And the fund itself is on a day-to-day managed basically by a guy called Puneet Tripathi. So our role at Capital Enterprise, and my role, is to actually run the pipeline, is to find great deals that we can introduce to our co-investment partners, and there's eight of them at the moment, and also to help them and the startups syndicate their deals to the wider investment community across London. So we've done 54 investments in the last 17 months, almost 18 months, deployed around 8 million of our own capital, leveraged another 42 million of private sector investment, which our partners have generated around about a kind of fifth of that. And I think invested in some very good businesses that are creating wealth and jobs and great new technology for the country.
Well, I'd love to dive into a quick fire round now with you, where I say a short statement and you give me your immediate thoughts. How does that sound?
Go on then.
So your favourite investing resource, what's your kind of must read when it comes in?
My must read is get a great Twitter account, follow great people on Twitter. I'm amazed people don't. Follow your Mark Susters, your Dreesens, your Horowitzes, your Ben Evans. You learn so much more from those giants.
Absolutely. No, I'm a big fan of Twitter. And then commonality amongst the best investors that you've seen.
Basically, at our stage is, I think the best investors are trust entrepreneurs. Basically have a good eye and ear for a great entrepreneur, and basically know how hard it is to kind of start and then kind of scale up a great business. And they know that their role is really to support the team that they're investing in and not to try and shackle them.
And then the most challenging element of your role today?
In terms of running the fund, I suppose the most challenging thing is to basically find enough money for some of the great startups we do find, so they can fund it all the way through. I think there's a kind of my biggest challenge is to get enough money in the initial round and get enough money in their follow-ons in a quite challenging environment. That's my biggest challenge. I think my biggest joy is the quality and the smartness and the intelligence and just the kind of fun you get by dealing with early stage startups who want to change the world.
What sector are you most excited by and why?
I think the sector we are seeing the most interesting, most amazing things at the moment in London is AI, and particularly machine learning. We are seeing what capability it's able to have, some of the big breakthroughs that have occurred in the last 2 years. So, yes, that is by far, I think, the most exciting one I see on a daily basis. Some of the problems they're solving are quite amazing.
And then the next 5 years for you and for London as a tech ecosystem, what's the kind of roadmap?
Well, let's hope we vote to stay in Europe in a few weeks' time.
Fingers crossed.
And after that, I think it's incredibly positive. I think the kind of the thing that may start to occur, I'm hopeful, and probably little evidence to go for this, a faith pitch, is that we'll get all that enormous amounts of money that's in the London scene, in the pension funds, in the mutual funds, to start basically feeling that it's not right that only 1% of the London stock market is in tech compared to the States, where it's about 21, 22%. And that actually kind of do something about that by investing in early stage funds like ours, hopefully.
Well, John, incredible to have you on the show. I'm a huge fan of what you're doing with London Co-Investment Fund, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Harry.
And I'd like to give a huge hand to John for giving up his time today to be on the show. It really was phenomenal to hear the role that he's playing in turning London into the super hub that it can be with the London Co-Investment Fund and Capital Enterprise. We'd also like to remind you that early stage investing is risky. Therefore, please do ensure that you engage in the proper due diligence prior to making any investments. Also, if you'd like to see more Angel Insights resources, then you can head over to our Learning Academy on www.syndicateroom.com. Thank you so much, as always, for your continued support, and we look very forward to seeing you in next week's episode.